Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 31. But the idea that liberation means destruction of the jiva sarup is not accepted by authorities. Riti, thus the Buddhists claiming that the goal is extinction of the self are wrong. Verses 8 to 27. Applied knowledge and detachment. Sri Uddhava said, O Lord of the universe, O form of the universe, please explain to me that process of knowledge which automatically brings detachment and direct perception of the truth, which is transcendental and which is traditional among great spiritual philosophers. This knowledge, sought by elevated personalities, describes loving devotional service unto your lordship. Right? So, you see, is that the devotional service gives these things as a side. It happens anyway. You know what I'm saying? By devotional service, then you become elevated from the material world, not under the control of that. You know, all the qualities that we're looking for in self-realization come by devotional service. But, is that, yeah. So, understanding that, then one endeavors for devotional service, and at the same, and while performing that service, one is looking out for the opportunities to apply those good qualities that you can get in devotional service, because there's plenty of opportunity for those things to come. My dear Lord, for one who is being tormented on the terrible path of birth and death, and is constantly overwhelmed by the threefold miseries, I do not see any possible shelter other than your two lotus feet, which are just like a refreshing umbrella that pours down showers of delicious nectar. O Almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen into the dark hole of material existence, where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Mm-hmm. Please save me, my Lord, by pouring down the nectar of your instructions, which awaken one to spiritual freedom. Right? So even though the conditions are so bad, still there's hope maybe we'll enjoy. Mm-hmm. Right? It didn't work out this time, but maybe next time. You know, and we're in that way very enthusiastic. Right? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Having heard about Tvam, the Atma, Uddhava asked about knowledge and relationship of Tat, Brahman, along with Vairagya, and asked about most rarely attained Bhakti Yoga, since he is dissatisfied with Jnana. Tell me about pure knowledge, beyond knowledge of Tvam, the Jiva. Tell about knowledge which is greater, since it is about Brahman, Tat. This knowledge is approved by the previous jnanis. The bhakti, which is especially sought by the great sages, like Sukha and Sanaka, is pure bhakti. If Krishna were to ask, so, reach success by pure bhakti yoga, why ask at all about jnana? Uddhava answers with verse 10. The meaning is this, pure bhakti does not arise by human effort, since it can only be attained by chance mercy of great devotees. Mm-hmm. Jnana Yoga is attained on its own by those who have understood Tvam, the Atma, by knowledge arising through nishkam karma. It is attained by human effort. Those who do not attain pure bhakti should be delivered by this process. For this reason, I ask about Jnana. Please sprinkle me with the sweetness of your words which bestow liberation. The nectar of gyan coming from your moon-like mouth produces liberation. Right? Because what Krishna will say on this subject, that being applied, that will produce liberation. Right? You're hearing from him, you know, so then that aspect of hearing with that attention, that devotion.
When it mentions over here that it can be attained by chance mercy of great devotees. It
means bhakti.
Yeah, bhakti.
Means it doesn't, there's nothing you can do to generate bhakti. You can only, by taking shelter of the great devotees and following their instructions, Krishna being pleased with that, them being pleased, then you'll be given bhakti. It's not something you can attain. That becomes the difficulty. That's why, because whatever we deal with, the secondary items, they're always based on the principle, with knowledge, skill, and effort, you can get a result. Right? And you're involved directly in that.
Yes.
You gain the knowledge, you exercise that knowledge, performing the activity, the results that come is connected to you. Right? But bhakti means it's not ascending, it's descending.
Yes.
So it's only if Krishna's pleased you get it. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It doesn't matter what you do means.
You have to keep in the context of it doesn't matter the activity that you've done, it's not the activity itself that produces the bhakti. It's Krishna's mercy. So you don't switch it into, it doesn't matter what you do, so you can go out, you know, what is it, go tell it on the mountain and, you know, over the hills and everywhere and all that kind of jazz. Means you have to do those things that please the Lord. Right? So it's not the secondary mechanics that produces bhakti, but by nishkam karma yoga, you can bring yourself to that platform of appreciating the position of the soul, being in a purified position, then getting the mercy of these great devotees, then you will advance very quickly. Right? So in other words, up to, through the madhyama platform, by your efforts, you can elevate yourself in that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But to get to the Uttama platform, that's by what was that? You know, like these special clubs, you know, you can't get in only by invitation only. Right? There's nothing that you can do. Right?
Yes.
It means there's no mechanical effort you can make that will produce bhakti. It's that you are engaged in activities that are pleasing to Krishna and the Vaishnavas, therefore their kindness upon you.
Yes.
But it's because of the attitude. So you can have the proper attitude to perform, because otherwise these same activities being performed without the proper attitude then doesn't attract their attention, because the activity itself doesn't attract attention. But you do it connected to Krishna, it's glorious.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
That's the whole point.
Thank you.
In Maharaj, it is mainly the only way that we have to do to connect to Krishna.
Yes, is through the mercy of the devotees. That's how it works.
Yes.
So the whole point is by having this knowledge and then understanding, you know, what is the soul, what is Brahman, what is the relationship, then that will help you become purified. But the point is it's taking advantage of the association of Vaishnavas that's actually going to produce bhakti. So one could say, like you said, why not just go for pure bhakti? But the point is generally because of our conditioning, we're not interested. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be very, very careful. That means that our inspiration means we deal with the secondary aspects of pure bhakti. But those are only in support of bhakti. Does that make sense? They're when they're connected to Krishna in devotion, then the primary and secondary are non-different. But if it's not connected in devotion, then they're different. You know, like the example of if someone knows cooking very nicely, then a nice kitchen and their cooking, you don't make a distinction between. Mm-hmm. Right? They use the kitchen to advantage, they produce very nice things. Mm-hmm. But if someone just has a great kitchen but doesn't know about cooking, so it's just a matter of, you know, check out my kitchen. Mm-hmm. Then you have to make a distinction. You know what I'm saying? In the material world, you don't have to, because it's only about the secondary. So the prestige gained, all these different things. And you know, the benefits from that then are considered very nice. But when we're talking about the spiritual world, then that aspect of pure bhakti, it's the devotion itself, it's that attitude by which those secondary items are engaged that catches Krishna's attention. Right? Now, since we are basically have the secondary, mm-hmm. and we ourselves don't necessarily naturally or spontaneously work on this primary platform. We've heard from authorities, and therefore we try to act in such a way. So, since we are dealing with the second, we don't have that natural spontaneous attraction. Therefore, even our dealing with the secondary, then it's in consideration of what would be pleasing to Guru Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? So, even we don't know, we're still absorbed in the secondary, we take the secondary that's recommended, that is said, that these kind of activities are proper or pleasing to Krishna and all that. It means it's pleasing to Krishna when it's done in devotion. We don't have the devotion, so at least we try to do the activity that pleases him if it's done in devotion.
Yes.
And that is the symptom of our devotion.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's why the Vedic version is never to be put aside. Because we don't have devotion. And so therefore we can only perform the secondary activities of devotional service. And whenever we can, remember Krishna.
Yes.
You know, if nothing else, at least at the end, then the result's given to Krishna, and then you get the benefit as it's all devotion.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're avoiding the recommended activities, then how are we expressing devotion by doing that? Mm-hmm. In other words, my dear Krishna, I'm attached to the material world, and I'm going to do all the things that I consider are great and all that, but because there's some distant aspect of secondary bhakti which I'm going to apply to that, you know, package it in that, therefore I'm going to consider it, you know, great bhakti. And so there's a good chance that I wouldn't even be offering this prayer to Krishna, because then I would be pointing out that there's a difference between what I'm doing in bhakti and what's recommended in bhakti. Yes. So I'm not even going to be making this prayer to Krishna. So then how is Krishna even going to know that you're doing devotional service?
Yes. Isn't it hard?
Yes, but what heart? Right? The guy's daughter is in his heart also. His attachment to his money, his house, you know, hoping that he'll get recognized in his position and he'll move up and, you know, things will go nicely, and all those are in his heart also. So just saying it's in the heart, great. But, you know, the thing has to be making the point is that before any of these it's in the heart wallahs came to Krishna consciousness, the hippies all around and the bohemians and all them, they were all saying, it's all in the heart. So, how is this special? You know what I'm saying? You know, we say that it must be the consciousness. The consciousness is what's in the heart. The soul's in the heart. But are we saying, it's all in the heart because of this reference from scripture, or are we saying that because of the new agey thing in our background and our conditioning?
Yeah,
so it's all right if we're using the conditioning, and by saying, you know, from the heart, then people become serious and hear the holy name and concept. That's fine. But just to say philosophically that it's all in the heart, then who says that? Where does that say that? Where has Krishna said that? Because the point is, if it's in the heart, how do you know it's there unless there's a manifestation? That manifestation is through secondary things. And if we avoid the secondary things that are the natural, spontaneous methods to express what's in the heart, and they're trying to present it as if it is a spontaneous thing, we all have this love for Krishna and we're not interested in these mundane externals, you know, like Mother Jashoda, you know, cooking for 9 o'clock for Krishna. You know, we're more spontaneous and we just do whatever we like when we like. You know, it's just, then what's the meaning of this? It's very childish. Right? So, therefore, then, this aspect of the jnana yoga, then you can see the knowledge, you can separate what is matter, what is spirit. So even though the devotion itself isn't so developed, you can at least get rid of those things, you know, or be in the process of getting rid of those things that are going to be an obstacle to that devotion if it ever arises.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that's the thing. But to pile on things and then say, no, it's all about the devotion. So we have to be careful. So that's why Uddhava is asking these questions so detailed, so that we know how to distinguish between what is pure devotion and what's not. And if it's not, then at least is it being engaged in a progressive way, or it's simply whimsical? Because there's a lot of difference between spontaneous devotional service and whimsical, and being whimsical. Yes. We can call it devotion. There's no such thing as whimsical devotional service.
Yes.
Rupa Goswami hasn't defined it. There's vaidhi, which means all the rules in that, and there's rag, which means you already have that natural spontaneous attraction to Krishna without any intellectualization. So if our whimsicalness is being established by logic, that means we're not dealing with spontaneity. Does that make sense? So then it's a matter of being careful that, yes, it's about being in the heart, but the point is why the heart? Why not the liver or spleen? You know, like that. You know, they're also nice organs. You know,
yeah.
You know. So the point is that it's the heart, meaning the chitta, not the muscle. You know, it's the place where the five life airs are, where the soul is sitting, super soul is sitting, the mind, intelligence, false ego, consciousness, all that's there. That's the heart. So just because it says with the heart, but with what heart? You know, and is the heart pure? So if the heart's not pure, then how do you say with the heart?
Yes. It's like hoping.
Yes, if it's hoping, then that's fine. Hoping is okay, as long as you're hoping. But that means you understand you're not in the position, and you're hoping to obtain.
Yes.
But if one is proud of one's material position, and trying to compare it to pure devotional service, then that's not hoping. You know, that's the thing. So it's a very fine point of attitude. So it's just ways to get to this attitude of just surrendering to Krishna. Is that something sense? Yeah. So then, because otherwise, okay, how are you supposed to offer the artik? With what?
With ingredients.
But what specifically from yourself will be you using?
Supposed to be devotion.
devotion. Okay, but that's from the heart. We're talking about the other aspects. When you go down the hand, okay? So then let us just take it into the example. Then, so how do we offer the artic with the hand? Okay. What if your hand's dirty? So should we wash the hand, or is just all about just offering with the hand? So if the heart's dirty, then how are we supposed to offer with the heart if the heart is dirty?
With the hand.
With the hand, yes. So that's the whole point, because the hand's a little farther away, so that it won't get contaminated. Right? does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, then you wash your hand. But how do you know how to wash your hand? That's knowledge. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole point, is Uddhava is then asking about that knowledge by which we can purify that heart so that it is able to be used in Krishna's service. But it's not the jnana that makes for the bhakti. It's just that since we don't have bhakti, we might as well, you know, be doing something of value in pursuance of bhakti. So through this jnana yoga, we're applying it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So that's the whole point. And then Krishna and the Vaishnavas may be pleased to give their mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because Prabhupada says, you know, chant, you know, you have your 16 rounds minimum, you have your four regulative principles, everyone should cooperate together. You know, he's given the structure of the society, now fill it in. You know, these all, so just do it. So what's the problem? Right, but because of impurities in the heart, therefore, then we try to adjust and change and this and that, and
mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point. This will make it easier so that we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You know, it's one letter we were just seeing that Prabhupada says, "You Westerners, you always change everything." Right? He says you don't have to change. You know, everybody chants on beads. But then some devotees made a rule, everybody below 12 can't use beads. Like that. And Prabhupada says this, you know, why not? Because they don't respect the beads. He says, but how will they learn to respect them if they don't have them? You have to teach them. You know, of course, it's easy just to make a rule, no beads, and then seemingly your problem is solved of dealing with the beads. But what about the chanting? What about the development? What about that? That's not considered in the equation. You know, so then Prabhupada said, don't change these things. Give them their beads and teach them how to use them. Is that, so that tendency, then that is what Uddhava is talking about. And so we can purify that. We've heard about the soul, but what about Brahman? Because if we bring up the topic of Brahman, most devotees will just say, we're not Mayavadis. You know, if we say Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, they'll say, that's what Mayavadis say. And the Mayavadis do say that. But we also say that. But our understanding is the personal understanding. Theirs is the exclusive monism. Right? Because Krishna's in everything, and everything's in Krishna. That's the meaning of Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Right? So it's not a topic that's known. So then one can't, if one's only distinguishing within the material, it becomes difficult. But when you start to distinguish between what's spiritual and what's material, that then makes it easier to tell within material what's good and not. Because good and bad is based on, is it pure devotion or not? Is it in pursuance of pure devotion or not? That's the actual useful concept of good and bad. If it's not that, it is material good and bad. Yeah, does that make sense? So this is the level we're dealing on here, right? You may not discuss this level with a new bhakta, right? Because they're just trying to figure out, just basic stuff, right? So, therefore, it's an advanced understanding. And if we just say that's all theory, it is all theory for someone who's not advanced.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who's advanced, it's not theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you have that natural attraction to the Lord or the devotees.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because of that, then that faith, then you don't have to worry about all the technical. Because you have that faith, you just apply that faith and it'll work. You know, but then that means you already have that mercy.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Good? Yes.
On the point of the heart, the Mahaprabhu's first instruction is Chetodarpa Namarjanam.
Yes. Yes.
So it's obvious.
Yes.
And in the third verse, he sets the mood, you know, Trinadapi and like that. So
yes.
It's
all about the heart, but it's about purifying the heart, qualifying the heart.
Yeah.
So this is just a way to go about it when you don't have any other qualifications. You know. That's the aspect. Yes, very good, very good. Yeah. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Uddhava, just as you are now inquiring from me, similarly in the past, King Yudhishthira, who considered no one his enemy, inquired from the greatest of the upholders of religious principles, Bhishma, while all of us were carefully listening. When the great battle of Kurukshetra had ended, King Yudhishthira was overwhelmed by the death of many beloved well-wishers. And thus, after listening to instructions about many religious principles, he finally inquired about the path of liberation. I will now speak unto you those religious principles of Vedic knowledge, detachment, self-realization, faith, devotional service, that were heard directly from the mouth of Bhishma Dev." Right? If you want to know about the listening to instructions about many religious principles, you want to know that, go to Mahabharata. That one's, it's given there. "I personally approve of that knowledge by which one sees the combination of 9, 7, 5, and 3 elements in all living entities, and ultimately one element within those 28.
Mm-hmm.
So Krishna approves of that. And we're going, what? What's this one? Yes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The 9 are Prakriti, Jiva, Mahatattva, Ahankara. And the 5 tanmatras, the 5 objects of sense perception, namely sound, touch, form, taste, and aroma. Because sound, touch, taste, form, and aroma, that gives rise to all of the senses and the sense objects.
Yes.
Right? Like that. The 11 are the 11 senses, the 5 working senses, the voice, hands, legs, anus, and genital, plus the 5 knowledge-acquiring senses, the ears, eyes, ears, touch, eyes, tongue, and nostrils, along with the coordinative sense, the mind. Right? So that's how then when you say the 9, then you mean these. Because then from that you get everything. It's just a matter of what angle you want to bring out.
Mm-hmm.
Because this first one, Jiva, Mahatattva, Ahankara, and the Tanmatras, then that's how it's all going to happen. Right? So as you have Pradhan, Krishna glances at it with the Ahankara and the Jivas. Right? And so from that, then you're going to get everything coming out. But it's the Tanmatras that are actually going to be the cause of all these things being produced.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the Lord, He wants to taste. Therefore, then everything manifests to do that. He wants to see everything manifest to do that.
Yes.
And in this, Mahabuddhas would be in Prakriti and Mahatattva. The first fire.
Means Prakriti means it's all together. So when Krishna glances, then you bring it, then Mahatattva is where you would see. But we're bringing out within this the 5 tanmatras, because from that you'll get all the other. So you don't have to list all 24. You just mention these 9 and you get that. Just like here, you say the 11, then that also gets it, because it is, you have these things, but how are they functioning? Because tanmatras are there, because all these other aspects are there. So it's just a matter of different angles. If you're looking at it from the sense and the sense, it means the mind and the senses, so how it all works, then that works. If you're looking at the primary creation and all that, you look more at this other one. It's just they bring out different flavors. But they're, yeah.
Maharaj, touch has been used as tanmatra as well as the knowledge acquiring senses, both?
I mean skin.
Skin.
You just have to know what it goes.
Seems.
The five are the gross elements. Right? So, yeah, the five. The three are the three gunas. I approve that knowledge by which one sees these 28 elements and all beings from Brahma to the plants, which are their products, and by which one sees Paramatma in all the 28 elements. Mm-hmm. That is knowledge by which, after seeing the world made of cause and effect, one sees the world is not different from the supreme cause. Mm-hmm. Right?
Sorry. When Kapila Muni was saying this, he mentions 24 in his Sankhya.
Yes.
So he doesn't take the big ones, the first ones?
No, they're there. It's just the jiva is not one of them. Right? And so then the jiva is not one. And then the three modes of nature. Mm. So you minus 28, the four, then you get... So it'll be the same. It's just how you approach it. Okay. That knowledge by which, after seeing the world made of cause and effect, one sees the world as non-different from the supreme cause. So that's the one. Right? So then, by this, then you can see how Paramatma is... Everything's in Paramatma, Paramatma's in everything. And therefore, by that, then you just see one aspect, just the Lord. Right? Because if you see the Lord, you see everything. That's the meaning. When you know the Lord, you know everything. Because literally, that's what it is. Right? Like that. Because the secondary things, even you say, oh, but you don't know all the secondary, says, who needs to? You know, it's like saying, yeah, but you're not the greatest. You haven't chewed all the chewing gum that there is in the world. It's like, who cares? You know? It's like, who cares? You know? So, these secondary aspects that people make so important aren't actually the real thing. The real thing is understanding how everything's coming from Krishna. And seeing that, then you actually know everything. Because it's also, how much can we know? Sri Krishna continued. When one no longer sees the 28 separated material elements which arise from a single cause, but rather sees the cause itself, the personality of Godhead, at that time one's direct experience is called vijnan or self-realization. Right? So makes sense. Because we see the 28... Right? And then we connect it to Krishna. But when seeing these 28, you don't see the 28, you see Krishna.
Yes.
Then you actually, that's self-realization.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's just like, probably gives the example, the mother sees the some article of clothing of the child. She doesn't really see the article, she sees the child.
Yes.
So makes sense. So it's that same principle. When you see everything connected to the Lord, then you actually see. Yes.
So this principle, it seems there are two aspects to this. One is we see everything connected to Paramatma. One we see connected to Bhagavan. So it's like one coming after another, or...
Yes, yes. Because if you're looking at the mechanical, then it's connected to Paramatma. But who's Paramatma connected to?
Bhagavan.
Yes. So then that's the point, is that at least you understand the aspect of it's God. Because when we say that knowledge by which, after seeing the world made of cause and effect, so that's Paramatma.
Yeah.
One sees the world is not different from the supreme cause. You know, so it means the Lord. But the point is why is that all going on? It's because Krishna. But in the beginning, when we just see secondary, then we're doing good to see God. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, then... But we learn about how it's all coming from Krishna. That's right from the beginning. We learn that. Just like the opening of Bhagavad Gita. The introduction. Within, I think... I can't remember. What is it? One page? No, it means you have the first page where he explains... The second page. I think by the third page, Prabhupada's already discussing the five rasas. It's either the third or the fourth. It might even be on the bottom of the second. But he's already discussing these things. So, why don't we catch that? Why doesn't from there, it's already as he goes through, and then by the time we finish the introduction, we're already on the platform of, you know, that spontaneous devotional service. because we think we're God. So we hear about how it's Krishna and he's doing everything, but we get distracted because of our attachment to all the mundane aspects. Therefore, then understanding how Krishna is God and not us, and how he does everything and how he's in control and not us, then it starts to break down. The heart becomes purified. As the heart becomes purified, then when we start hearing about Krishna and his relationship with the devotees, we start to appreciate more and more. So it starts to take up more of our, consciousness. Right? So you're doing both at once, as you were saying before. You're doing the activities of devotional service, you know, the Sankirtan movement, but you're also, you're clearing the mind. The Sankirtan will clean the mind. But it's also that you have to know that that's the process. Otherwise, if you don't, it may be just sentimental, and then you can't tell the difference. I like doing devotional service, and I also like going to the donut shop. Right? So many times when they were not at, I don't think at 26th Second Avenue, but when they were at 61 Second Avenue, they were up, I'm not sure how much, but, you know, a few. Some buildings, you know, maybe the next block or something. I'm not sure if it's in the same block. I think those are double blocks. Yeah, but whatever, it is up a bit. Then either next door or two doors down or something was a donut shop. So Prabhupada sometimes, when no one was there in the temple, would have to go over to the donut shop and then get all the devotees. You know, it's time for Bhagavatam class, but they're over eating donuts, you know, so. It happens, right? So if that's your biggest problem, is they're in the donut shop, then you're doing okay.
Right? It's quite innocent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But my point is this, they like devotional service, they like donuts. They can't really tell the difference. So that's why the knowledge lets you tell the difference. Like that. So,
yeah, because when you mentioned why can't we catch both,
yes,
I think in the beginning to catch both it's a bit too much. We can catch rules and regulations, which and then all concentration goes into that.
Yes, yes, but that's why this is considered a more advanced understanding. So this is the natural progression of the rules and regulations, because as you mentioned before, you have karma. Above karma is gyan. Above that is bhakti.
Yeah.
So we start off, we were told all three, you know, that bhakti is the thing, and then all these different things. And so we even start off with the bhakti generally. But then in that, then we'll catch, like you said, the rules and regulations. Then with time of performing karma yoga, naturally knowledge and detachment come. So we become situated in jnana yoga. Right? And then from jnana yoga, then we try to get to bhakti yoga. Because when you're dealing on this level, then one can say that when we're saying here pure devotion, we mean the uttama platform of pure devotion, not the madhyama platform or the neophyte platform.
Yeah.
Right? So that's there. Because generally speaking, karma would be the neophyte, jnana would be the madhyama, and pure bhakti would be the uttama. But we see the mature sages can raise themselves up to the liberated platform with this knowledge, though they haven't necessarily taken up pure devotion.
Yeah.
Right? They'll know about Krishna and be inspired, but it'll be more about the jnana. Right? Then at some points, you see, like you gave the example of the four Kumaras, then they see the difference. Because they've been refined, they can tell the difference between matter and spirit. And they can tell that this smell from the tulsi leaves is not matter, it's spirit. And it's higher than the knowledge of Brahman, you know, or Paramatma. And so that, then they move forward. So that's the thing about the Vedic path and the devotional path especially, is that the same principle applies from top to bottom, but the form that is used may adjust, you know, or may not, just depending on what it is. Is that?
Yeah.
And so then you're explaining simultaneously that progression, but you're also explaining then the elements that are used that, and much of the time, either in a common thing or in a specific context, but still it has its general aspect. because these principles can be still used by someone who is beginning devotional service. But it won't take up, let's say, much of their thought process, probably.
Yeah.
But it's not that by hearing about it and something from it they'll catch and they'll get inspired. You know, trying to be, you know, detached or try to see things in connection with the Lord. And they'll try. And because life is very simple, then they will get much benefit from that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so then it's just a matter of trying to keep yourself busy in Krishna consciousness, either in, you know, direct activities or indirect. It's just, this is a more refined indirect element. Like that. Not that it can't be connected to the Lord and that way then give that effect of direct. But even if it's not, it still is giving, you know, the effect of self-realization. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. And so then, Bhagavan, that's a matter of taste. Because that's the whole point. Bhagavan means his interaction with the pure devotees. Their pastimes. So it's taste, it's rasa. It's not, it means tattva, I'll explain it, but most all the tattva you see is below that. And any explanation of the technicalities of that, it's known as, you know, the advanced, you know, the other three aspects of the ocean of nectar, devotion, ujjamala, nilamani, you know, all these kind of things that we generally, you know, what's that? You know. Does that make sense? You know, we get confused between, you know, how I say, Anubhav, Sattvika Bhav, Sanchari Bhava, the secondary rasas, you know, and but the same thing is in all three of them. Why, you know, it's like, yeah, because we're trying to take it from the external, but no, it's rasa. So it's the experience in connection with with primary Krishna. And so in there, then depending upon where it comes up, it has a different flavor. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it gives a different. Yeah. So then one has to. One appreciates that aspect. And so don't worry. If you survive the 11th and 12th canto and we get into Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it will go more that direction. You know. Yeah. But it'll still be technical.
The first seven chapters are very technical.
Yeah, so. First seven chapters are very technical, but they're all on the level of rasa and why Lord Chaitanya has come and what he's doing and like this and that. So, just a different kind. So, you know, technical. We do technical.
Maharaj, like Jiva Goswami mentions about there are two types of pastimes of Lord. One is the ones which we hear the Leela, and other one is about the creation.
Okay.
The creation and all the aspects that also are considered as
pastimes
because that brings out the rasa of Adbhuta rasa.
Okay.
Which rasa?
Adbhuta. You know.
The first one, the second is Adbhuta, and the first one.
No, it means the first is his pastimes in the spiritual realm with the devotees. The second one is creation.
Oh. Okay.
And creation brings out the, you know, aspect of Adbhuta and all these. So basically the secondary rasas.
And also in the 87th chapter, Jiva Goswami says that the creation is because of Lord's compassion to the living entity.
Yes.
Because, so we can see in the personal connection also.
Yes, you can also see that personal. Because the whole point is we always have that personal connection to bring it through to Krishna. It's just that to make sure that we don't forget that, then these are the ways to know that, how to tell the difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because Uddhava is, you know, he's saying that I'm, you know, so foolishly, okay, where was it? Okay, Almighty Lord, please be merciful and uplift this hopeless living entity who has fallen in the dark hole of material existence, where the snake of time has bitten him. In spite of such abominable conditions, this poor living entity has tremendous desire to relish the most insignificant material happiness. Right, so please save me. And he's asking about these. Right? So we have to be able to avoid and tell the difference in, you know, what is in this dark hole of material existence, you know, who the snake is and, you know, all this kind of jazz. But if we try to say, but I'm a living entity from the dark hole of material existence, and, you know, there's no difference between my identifying with all that and trying to appreciate that and the social comfort that I feel in that, and pure devotional service. In fact, it's even better because I'm being realistic, I'm being natural, while these other people acting on the platform of the soul, which is, you know, Shastra says it's the natural position, is unnatural for the materialist. Mm-hmm. So actually I'm more honest, I'm more straightforward, I have more of a direct, like, you know, this is the cutting edge of, you know, Kali Yuga, you know, how you say, processes. You know, how you say, read Kali Yuga, right, you know. You understand? So that's the difficulty, is that we can't tell the difference. So this is the knowledge by which one can tell the difference. Does that make sense?
Yeah. In other words, this depends on our, sincerity and wanting,
yes,
to have the truth.
Yes, sincerity and wanting, and then Krishna will arrange, because we're not the ones making the arrangements, Krishna is. So if we have that sincerity, then Krishna will arrange.
Mm-hmm. So jnana is like ascending process, and bhakti is more descending.
Yes, but like it ascends up to a point.
Yes, yes.
That's why it says when you get to a particular point, then it's left, it's surrendered to Krishna.
Yes.
So when you get to the point where you see all there is Krishna, and there is nothing else, then at that point you just surrender,
yes,
to Krishna.
Yes.
It doesn't keep intellectualizing. Because,
yes,
it's just a matter, all you have to do is surrender. We're not the body, we're not this, we're not all these things. We don't require justice, we don't require all these,
yes,
aspects. Therefore, then just surrender. Krishna will take care.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So,
yes. But before surrendering,
means there's a great advantage to using, yes, this. Means if it doesn't make sense in the other aspects before the teaching about you're dealing with the karma aspects, then that's fine, because that'll give rise to this. The point is when pure bhakti arises, it's not dependent upon karma yoga or jnana yoga. The point is we engage in karma yoga and jnana yoga, you know, until we come to the point of pure devotion. So since karma yoga and jnana yoga are in being engaged in the service of pure devotion, therefore it's counted in that way. But we keep ourselves busy with whatever we can relate to.
Yes.
Is that, does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so it's just a technical fine point.
Yes.
Is that,
yes.
That? Yes.
It also seems, we discussed a lot descending and ascending. That is clear, but it seems that the method that karmis, jnanis, and yogis use, it's the method, as far as I understood, it's you get perfection on this level, only then you move to the next.
Yes,
but
yes.
With the bhakti, we do, once we get shraddha, then we do parallel many things.
Yeah, all these things. That's all it is you're keeping yourself busy. You know, it's just like, how do you call it? You're supposed to be doing something, but then, let's say, the current goes off. So you keep yourself busy until it comes back on.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I'm saying? You're chanting. You're supposed to be chanting, but then, you know, you get tired, so then you sit down. Or you just do stuff. You keep yourself engaged. You know, so if you can't do one, you do the other. If you can't do that, you just keep busy in something connected. So even though we're using karma yoga and jnana yoga, it's working in the context of bhakti. So therefore, we'll move through what others would take thousands of lifetimes to move through. Then for the devotee, they'll move through in some years. And then come jnana yoga for in some years. And then, you know, it'll be done. So it looks like those things, but it's actually functioning on the power of bhakti. Does that make sense? You know. So that's the thing, is that, but it's not that those techniques, because those we see here in the 11th canto is spoken directly by Krishna. Because if it wasn't, it was someone else, we would say, oh no, but we've heard 10th canto, right?
Yes.
So what do we need all this gyan for? But it's Krishna's,
yes,
saying it.
Yes.
And he's saying this is how you'll come to that. And he's always bringing out the point, it's about pure devotion.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so yeah. So let's say, yeah, it will get good. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Vijnana is defined in the first half of the verse. That jnana becomes vijnana. How? It is vijnana when one does not see the universe as one with Paramatma as before. The meaning is this. At the stage of jnana, one sees everything arising from Paramatma who is not seen. At the stage of vijnana, one sees only Paramatma directly. Right? So that we're even getting more. It's at the level that we're dealing with here. So you're always seeing him in connection with Paramatma. It's Paramatma you're seeing, and then all this is his doing. Otherwise, like, how you say? Yeah, then we're seeing by the intellect, by the jnana, that, you know, all these things, you know, how it comes from Krishna and how Krishna's Paramatma is in and things like that. So we're making the connection, it's about Paramatma, but the vijnana, it means then you see Paramatma.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
It's a different vision.
So this is a very, you know, advanced level that they're discussing. But at the same time, it's not understood and to varying degrees practiced. Just like we're chanting the holy name. And Haridas Thakur is chanting the holy name. You know, it's just out of our 16 rounds, you know, maybe a few of the names we hear, you know, and focus on. While Haridas Thakur, you know, hears and focuses on, you know, every syllable of 3 lakhs. You know? Is that, you know, it's just, but we're doing, that's the whole thing. Everything that's there that is being done on the topmost place, we're given, but we're, you know, our emphasis is different. Is that?
Yeah. So Maharaj, we can try to connect everything in pursuit of bhakti.
Yes.
It means if we keep the connection with bhakti, it's okay.
Yes, so yes. Then that's the whole point of this yes. canto, is that its connection to bhakti is what makes it real. And if it's not connected to bhakti, no matter how elevated it is, it's useless.
And after connecting to bhakti, after we need to wait, we can say the mercy.
Yes. Yes.
Means we walk and after we wait.
Means some mercy is there, otherwise yes. how do you know yes. even to connect it to bhakti?
Yes, yes.
But still, it can go more farther and farther yes. and farther. Yes. Just like the gopis are dancing with Krishna at the Rasa dance, but it's not that they can't get more mercy.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
You know. Yes.
So to increase that attraction and attachment, which is Krishna's mercy, he increases that by leaving the rasa dance.
Yes.
Then their absorption in a separation, then they become more and more attached to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yes. yeah. And so then that, you know, that's what happens. And so it just keeps getting more and more and more until, you know, that one attains that position that is, that's the, you could say, the that devotional standard by which the residents of Braj function in Goloka.
Mm.
Right? Then the pastimes go apricot.
Yes.
Right? Because more than what is being displayed, we won't understand anyway. I mean, we don't understand it. You know, that, and more than that, we don't understand what's going on here. We wouldn't understand more.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, so it's just how much is like that. But at the same time, it's non-difference, so that there doesn't need to be any difference. Yes. But finer, more variety, we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that make sense? Means it catches the attention, but it's not, it's just like, let us say, like in the mid-90s, then devotees were doing a lot of studying in that. It became very, you know, it became quite acceptable to actually, one should study and one should, you know something about Krishna. Because before it was more just karma, yoga, you know, just do your activity and this and that's all. But now it's starting to come, is also we can enhance that by, you know, reading Prabhupada's books and the Acharya's works and that. So then, as devotees would be reading, then some details that others didn't know, they bring up in their classes and yes. everything like this.
Yes.
And it would be inspiring.
Yes.
right? But, and so we would be, it would keep our interest, we would hear more about Krishna. So the Shravanam would be, you know, increased like that, and the Kirtanam would be increased, Shravanam Kirtan, Smaranam, the remembrance wouldn't necessarily change. Because if we can't remember, you know, what Krishna did that we read in Krishna book, why will we remember what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says is some other detail? You know what I'm saying? And even if it is, we'll remember the detail. Are we going to remember the moods, the rasa, the... Mm-hmm. You understand? So,
yes.
So it exposes us, and it's nice, but we're thinking, oh, it's a more advanced level. It's still just for us, you know, Shravanam. Mm-hmm. It hasn't come to the always thinking of Krishna and never forgetting. But we're willing to go sit and things like that.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Srila Rupa Goswami, he mentions that in Vaidhi, we do all the nine processes.
Yes.
But then when we turn into rag, then Smaranam increases by volume.
Yes.
We able to remember pastimes.
Yes.
Form qualities and pastimes.
Yeah, then whatever you happen to be doing, then, because it doesn't matter if you're already absorbed in the Lord, then the other activities may or may not be done. You know, that's why, therefore, then, they say, one of the M's, then mentioned about, you know, goodbye to my three times son, Madhavendra Puri. You know, goodbye to my, one of them, right, you know. One of the, you know, exalted M's. So Madhavendra Puri is just, because he's so absorbed in the Lord, they may do those things, they may not. You know, he's down at the river and thinking, you know, like that. He may do his tarpana and may not. He may chant his mantras at that time or not, because being in the Jamuni, he remembers Krishna, and Krishna in the Jamuni and the pastimes and all that. And, you know, other people going, is he ever going to come out of the water? You know, it's like, you know, it's just, therefore, it's that. If he's conscious of it, all the other sadhus are there, and then he may do it also. But otherwise, then he may not. So that's the point. It's not that, how I'm not doing that stuff anymore, you know. You know. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You know, so now he's got time to catch up on the Godfather trilogy that he hasn't watched for a while, right? You know, so that's not what's happening. It means he's so absorbed in Krishna that he forgets about all these things. They forget to eat. They forget to sleep. Like that. You know, so Raghunath Das Goswami is taking his buttermilk every other day. He's not sitting there going, ooh, am I hungry? But no, God, just, you know, five more hours and that. It's that he can't work it into his schedule on a daily basis. Right? He's too busy absorbed in Krishna and all this, so. Yeah, so slightly different. We understand, so this, by going through this 11th canto, we're starting to see is that position that they have is due to that consciousness of being absorbed in Krishna. Therefore, these others are an effect. But we're generally used to just viewing the effect and not actually understanding the cause. So that's what's changing here. You know, so even though it appears to be, you know, how you say, more dry, but actually it's showing us the difference between what's actually dry and what's not dry. You know it's like how you say, the example of the camels chewing on the thorns. Now they're going to say, these thorns, these are juicy, these aren't dry. It's like, yeah. Okay. So that's the... Yeah. Okay. The meaning is this, at the stage of jnana, one sees everything arising from Paramatma, who is not seen. at the stage of Vijnana, one sees only Paramatma directly. Because of the bliss of realizing Paramatma, one has no opportunity to see his products. Right? Because you're so absorbed in him, you don't really see what's going on. So that process where you're seeing everything connected, that's the great sage. But then when you come to that realization, that you no longer see these, but rather sees the cause excels, so the personality of Godhead. That's Vijnana. So then you're just absorbed in the Lord. Now, and at that time, then they act like a madman, this and that. What do you do? If you're walking down the street and you see somebody that, you know, in your estimation looks like they might be crazy, what do you do?
Go to the other side,
stay out of the way. In other words, you don't bother them. So therefore, materialists don't bother Paramahamsas. Right? Like that. Yeah, otherwise they'd come up to him and try to sell him a condo or something, you know. Like that. So. Because of the bliss of realizing Paramatma, one has no opportunity to see his products. This is realization of oneness. In the previous verse, it was explained that in the stage of Jnana, one sees everything as Paramatma because he is the supreme cause of all the effects. Mm-hmm. That is again repeated in the second part of this verse. One should see the creation, maintenance, and destruction of the material products. This means one should see them as temporary. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So he sees all the aspects. Not that he just sees them, but he sees that they're also the created, the maintained, the destroyed, so it's all about Krishna. So, we would take this as an advanced platform of devotional service. Mm-hmm. But, since we're talking about, you know, pure devotional service, then it means that it's beyond these levels.
Yes.
Right? Where it's just about Krishna, it's just absorption in Krishna. Yes. So these are the techniques by which we can bring ourselves to be absorbed in Krishna. Right? We use the techniques, Krishna's happy, then he reveals. Right? We keep ourselves busy.
Yes.
Right?
So earlier the vision was very broad, where you were seeing everything connected to Krishna. So now, with your devotional service, the vision becomes very narrow, only concentrating on the Krishna.
It's exclusive. I wouldn't say narrow. Because if you have Krishna, then you have broader than whatever you were seeing before. Because before, you could only see according to your conditioning. That's narrow. Now you're seeing according to Krishna. Right? So that gets broader. And then you only see Krishna. He's the sum total of everything. So I wouldn't use the term narrow. I would say focused, you know, exclusive. That's the terms the like that. You know, just like this. Okay. Would this be considered a poetic kind of approach? Yeah, the guy is so attached to his senses and all that, and then sees the satisfaction of his senses in his family, that the guy works like a donkey to get all the facility for all that and whatever they want, and they just keep taking more and more from him. Like that, that guy's really into his family. Right?
Got it.
Okay, so that's the whole point, is that you have to know when you're dealing with Krishna and the person, you use nice terms. Even though you could say it's technically correct, but you have to know the context. So when you're dealing with Krishna as a person, then you use these personal aspects. That's why it says when you come to Krishna, the logical things aren't what is applied. Right? We apply to get to there, but in dealing with him, then they're not there. Does that make sense? Sri Krishna continued. Commencement, termination, and maintenance are the stages of material causation. That which consistently accompanies all these material phases from one creation to another and remains alone when all material phases are annihilated is the one eternal. Footnote 5. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of the creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.9.33. This is from the first, or this is the preliminaries just before it starts?
I think it's the first one.
Okay. Yeah, because the number sounds familiar. So this is the first. Okay. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, there is only one entity, Paramatma, that is again stated, that which exists during creation and after transformation during destruction, that which continues as the shelter while effect after effect is produced, and what remains after the final destruction is the real and eternal cause. Though Mahatattva is the cause of particular effects, is not called the cause since it is not the cause of everything. The one Paramatma is the final cause. Though these things exist, they are not eternal because they do not continue to exist during all phases of time. Right? Because the whole manifestation only is existing during a certain period. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's not. Mm-hmm. And in between, then there's only Krishna. Right, because he breathes out, he breathes in. So there's a time when there's nothing going on. Mm-hmm. Right? Paramatma, however, exists at all times. At the stage of jnana, one should see this oneness of Paramatma. Right? So that's that you're seeing these things at that platform of jnana. This is what we're meaning. So you're seeing just Krishna, but it's in connection with everything, so that you can catch that, and then from there, then you can appreciate. Right? Then you only see Krishna. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada, he often quotes that verse from Upanishad: Nitya Nityanam Chetanas Chetananam Eko Bhavanam. So that explains that he's the one who gives, satisfies desires of everyone. Mm. He's the consciousness. He's existence.
Mm. He's the smoke. He's the potency of the smoke to drive away the mosquitoes. He's the potency in the smoke that you can't breathe.
Yeah. Here in this explanation of it is like Paramatma means like Krishna.
Yes, yes, it means Krishna. But you're pointing out is because you're showing how everything's coming from Krishna, everything's going to Krishna. Krishna's doing that through as Paramatma. He doesn't do that as Krishna.
As Bhagavan, yes.
As Braja Krishna, that because yes. here is that it will be any of the aspects of Paramatma. So depending on what level you're looking at, this one they're talking about, then Paramatma means Mahavishnu. We're talking about within the universe and how everything and all the various manifestations, that's then Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. When you're talking about how he's in everything and that, then that is then Kiradakshaya. Or with Mahavishnu, he's the one that everything's coming from. Everything's coming from him, it rests in him, but then he enters everything as Garbhodakshaya.
Yes.
So this principle of he's in everything and everything is in him, that goes together, that's always being used.
Yes.
Is that seven sense?
Can we say my
idea? So it's like Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is as a Virat Rup, then everything is in him.
Yes.
At the same time as Kiradakshaya, he's in everything. That's why they're both considered the universal form. They're both considered Paramatma.
Yes.
But it's different aspects of the
Otherwise, can we connect? Because here, jnana is connected to Paramatma. Can we connect more like bhakti to Krishna and jnana to Paramatma?
It's bhakti is there, the whole aspect. Because when the bhakti is there, then you don't see Paramatma as different from Krishna. It's Krishna who's doing those things.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So it's. Yes. It's not that it has to be, it's just that the elements that we deal with in jnana are controlled by Paramatma, therefore he features. Mm. But the point is it's Krishna who comes. That's why so many times it is said, even though it'll bring it up to this point, it'll again then point out how Krishna is the source.
Yes.
Right now we're just talking this technical point.
Yes.
It's been made so many times because he's given, you know, he's asked some very technical questions, and many of them.
Yes.
So then Krishna will speak some time on this. But we see the acharyas, then they'll bring out the various points. Prabhupada especially, even at this, he'll constantly bring it back to Krishna. Otherwise we forget and we'll get distracted by the gyan.
Yes, yes.
Right, so instead of bringing us closer to Krishna, it'll bring us closer to, you know, gyan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like that. Yes. So Prabhupada's constantly, you know, always showing that connection.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's it? Yes.
Brahma's realization of Paramatma is Shyama Sundara Achintya Guna Swarupa. Mm.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's how he sees it.
Yes, yes. Because that's who's making it all work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. So is that, so we see is that it's seamless. It's the same thing. It's just a matter of which aspect. Because when you see the Dasa Mool, you know, given by Lord Chaitanya, then you have Krishna as the supreme, right? So then all those aspects of how he's the supreme, then he's the lord of his energies, and then how he's controlling all, then he's the lord of rasa, right? But he's all three. So for those on that level of rasa, the other two they also see.
Yes.
But the point is we can't appreciate the energies until we know who's in charge of them. As long as we think we're doing, then we'll see him in a material concept.
Yes.
But when we understand they're Krishna's energies, then we can deal with them connected to Krishna. Then we can appreciate rasa.
Yes, yes.
Is that?
Yes.
It's like that, yeah. You know, so in other words, there's a method to this. It's not just put together, however.
Yes.
There's a method.
And we need to know where we are.
Yes, we need to know where we are.
Otherwise, we see.
Yeah, how do you go somewhere if you don't know where you are?
Yes.
Right. Is that, yeah. You know, it's just like the example is, you know, what they're saying is we know we're here and we know where the front gate is and where the bus is.
Yes.
And so we know you have to go through all this, and then but someone will say, oh, but there's so much rules and regulations and all that and all that. The Hajjils will say, no, from right here, just step on the bus. But will you be on the bus? No. Yeah, so that's the whole point. Is that it's helpful. And as long as it's helpful, you use it. And when it's not helpful, if tomorrow or today or whatever, the next moment, you develop spontaneous loving devotion to Krishna, then it's not used.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let us say, okay, we take the potatoes out of the oven. Okay? Do we use our bare hand? No. You use a glove or something like that. Okay? And then, okay, then we go to serve it. We use our bare hands. No, use a spoon or something. Then when it's on our plate, now we can use our hands. So it's just, you know, what do you, as long as it's necessary, it's used. When it's no longer necessary, what's the whole point? You wouldn't use that, you know, that oven mitten, you know, for when you're eating, you know, like that. You know. Why are you using the oven mitten? You don't need the oven mitten. Well, it soaks up all the extra, you know, kind of liquid, so I just get the cheese and the potatoes. Yeah. You know, so. Oh, okay, yeah, right. You know, so that's the whole point, is this: these are the techniques that are used, but as soon as they're not necessary, that you have to give them up. Otherwise, then they're attachment. Just like one, how you say, one gets the training as the brahmachari, but one has the qualifications to move on to grihastha ashram. In other words, he has the desires, he has all this. For him to stay in the brahmachari ashram because of the prestige or this or that or so many things, that's wrong. He has to move on. He has to give that up. And as grihastha, when they get the realization, they move on to vanaprastha. They don't stay. Does that make sense? So these are techniques that are used, but as soon as the result is gained, they're not used anymore. So, how long they'll be used, you can't say. Maharaj Katvanga became perfect in a moment, literally. So then the whole thing is that's the shortest you'll require it, you know. And then it may take, you know, a whole lifetime. But the point is it doesn't matter. If you get Krishna, you don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, it's like the whole day you've been fasting, and then when the feast is finally there, You're not worried about that. It was all happening. You're not sitting there and eating and going, wow, it's so tough fasting and all that. I mean, that was ridiculous and all that. You know, and everyone else says, well, the guy just shut up and eat, you know. You know, you don't. You just enjoy the prasadam. So that's the point. Is it's a technique that's used, but then once you're there, then it's just about relishing Krishna consciousness. But then, to preach, you have to be able to explain all this, because the others aren't relishing Krishna consciousness. Yeah. They're relishing other, you know, how you say? The snake bites within the dark well. Yeah. Okay, so you have sound bites, and so these are snake bites. Time bites. So you just change the wording of the tone, and suddenly it's like, oh yeah. Yeah. So that's why I was saying before about no from the heart, but that's just, they're just changing the context and the mood, but they're not missing the point. You know? So yes.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that in a material rasa, even by the poetic expression of a poet, there can be rasa evoked.
Yes.
It doesn't happen in spiritual rasa.
But?
It's not the way in the spiritual rasa. There should be a proper expression.
Yes.
Just like you're telling how it is spoken, then it seems something very nice coming up.
Yeah, yeah, because we have that material. We have material rag, right? You know, so we have that natural, spontaneous, like that. Yeah. Sri Krishna continued. Oh no, we did that one. Okay.
Footnote 6.
Okay, at the stage of jnana, one should see this oneness of Paramatma. Footnote 6, Vritti. Hence, all Vedic schools that fail to recognize the Lord as the cause of all causes are not on the level of true jnana. Mm-hmm. Right? So actual jnana is only in bhakti. So that's why for us, jnana yoga is just part of devotion. It's part of the process of Buddha yoga. Karma yoga also. Right? So these others, the jnana that they're following, that's not the jnana we're talking about. We're only talking, all this is, Bhagavatam is only talking within devotional service. Right? Sri Krishna continued, from the four types of evidence, Vedic knowledge, direct experience, traditional wisdom, and logical induction, one can understand the temporary, insubstantial situation in the material world, by which one becomes detached from the duality of this world. And so, through these, we hear from the Vedic knowledge, right? And we have the traditional wisdom. So then we use the logical induction, we'll get the direct experience. Right? So from that, then we're able to appreciate that the material world is insubstantial, so we become detached. That's the whole idea. That's what the advantage of the jnana is. It's many times it's not appreciated because of that. Because it lowers the appreciation. So,
and there is a obstacle fighting.
Huh?
It means it's not easy to appreciate because we don't want to surrender.
Yes, because we don't want to surrender like that. But if we want to surrender, then these things become very nice because they're about Krishna. And, you know, so then even if you said no, but then it would have no taste for those who are on an advanced level, but then what would they do? You're saying how everything's connected to Krishna and everything like that. They're thinking about Krishna and they're gone. So they don't have any problem with the process.
Yes.
That's the thing, is those on the platform of pure devotion don't have any process with karma yoga and jnana yoga. Because for them, it's just all pure devotion. Mm. It's just the activities, the knowledge, the absorption, you know, that's all. Mm-hmm. An intelligent person should see that any material activity is subject to constant transformation, and that even on the planet of Lord Brahma, there is thus simply unhappiness. Footnote 7. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Right? So even from Brahma's planet, there'll be unhappiness. Right? So we talk about it'll be so much greater, but those who are there, it's not necessarily. Right. Indeed, a wise man can understand that just as all he has seen is temporary, similarly, all things within the universe have a beginning and an end. Whatever I've seen is temporary. That means, and the Shastras say that the whole universe is temporary. Like, so we can understand that everything is like this. It's not that, oh, if we go somewhere else, it'll be different.
Yes.
You know? Does that make sense? Because it's all the same. If you're standing on this, let's say you have a large lawn. Okay? You stand in a place, look straight down. Is the grass necessarily very thick? No. But if you look across the lawn, you'll see over that side it's really green.
But the neighbor's side.
Hmm? But
the neighbor's side, especially.
Yes, especially. Then when you walk over there and look down, you'll see the same thing.
Yes.
So that's all. It's just wherever you are, somewhere else looks better. That's, and when you get there, it's not. Then somewhere else, that's just Maya. That's how she keeps you busy, you know, running around the universe, because it's always something's better. Mm-hmm. Footnote 8. As the Mundaka Upanishad 1.2.12 states, Pariksha lokan karma chitan brahmano nirvedam ayan nastyakrita kritena. When a Brahman recognizes that elevation to the heavenly planets is merely another accumulation of karma, he becomes renounced and is no longer corrupted by his actions. He's just whatever it is, it's all the same. Srila Vishvanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Jnana and Vijnana have been explained. Vairagya is explained in two verses. Shruti says, Yato va imani bhutani jayante, yena jatani jivanti, yat prayant. Sorry. Yat prayanti, because that would be the grammatically how you'd end that. They're not taking the whole. You know how Prabhupada sometimes will take part of a shloka? You know, not necessarily the end, so then you adjust the grammar for it to stop there and to have the meaning within that. So then they put it prayanti right here. Okay. From the Lord all beings are born. By Him they are maintained. In Him they dissolve. Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1.1. By sense perception, pratyaksha, we see that a pot arises from clay and dissolves back into clay. Aitihyam is what is famous because of authorities. Right, so the Puranas are also known as Aitihyam. You know, this what's famous. Because that's what, do you want to hear the history that's not famous?
No.
No, you want to hear what's famous. The big guys, the big events, the big, you know, like that. You know, because of authorities, right? Statements like, the world never changes, are considered to be without authority. One can infer, anuman, that because the universe has a beginning and end, that it is temporary. Because the universe does not remain at all times according to the four types of proof, one becomes detached from the world of duality composed of heavenly enjoyment. Right? So, by these various four types of proof, one can see it doesn't stay.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have your direct perception yourself. You can also then go from that and, wow, clear mosquitoes. You ever seen clear mosquitoes? You seen? Seems to be a new kind of mosquito. Clear mosquitoes coming your way. Seems to be more active than the black ones. Hmm? But so then you get these four kinds. You have the Shastra, what it says. You have the tradition, what it'll be saying, what the authority, you know, what the Acharyas and what the Smriti is saying. In other words, the Vedic authority, that'll be the Shruti. Then the tradition is the Smriti. Right, then you've heard, and then you can apply then an anuman to situations you don't know, or and then you have the direct perception yourself. So from all these, one can understand that the world is temporary. Yeah, and so then you give up the world of duality composed of heavenly enjoyment. Right, because if something goes nice, what do you call it? Mm-hmm. Heavenly, right? You know, the place was really, really nice, or better than you expect. It's heavenly. The food was so fat. It's heavenly. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The experience. So that's what we're looking for, is that heavenly. Mm-hmm. So whether we're trying to get it here, or you know, we're willing to wait until next life, you know. But the point is it's still about heavenly. So we have to be able to give up heavenly because it's temporary. Because it's not actually that heavenly. Sri Krishna continued, O sinless Uddhava, I previously explained to you bhakti yoga. Now I will again explain the auspicious cause of bhakti dedicated to me in order to increase your love. Right? So then how to gain that? So what is bhakti and then how to gain? Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur writes, in text 8, Uddhava asks, please explain bhakti, which is sought by the great sages. Now the answer is given. I spoke this previously, but because you are not fully satisfied, you ask again. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I will speak it again, since you will develop love. Priyam anaya. This is because you are without offenses, anagha. If there is offense, then love will be scarce. Mm. There is no alternative. I will speak about the most auspicious cause of my bhakti. Right, so mm-hmm. when there's offenses, then that so love is scarce. Mm-hmm. The taste that one gets in devotional service, that's coming from bhava, but it's scarce. Mm-hmm. You know, this kirtan, that time reading, this association of that devotee, or this darshan, or the, you know, like this, it's there, but it's scarce. But because it's a moment of this, how you say, taste is greater than anything in the material world, then one moves forward. That's why one's careful about these tastes that are so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Right? That's why the regulative principles, they're tastes that aren't greater, but they tend to be overwhelming because of the volume or the intensity. Mm-hmm. Is that something here? Okay. Sri Krishna continued, firm faith in the blissful narration of my pastimes, constant chanting of my glories, unwavering attachment to ceremonial worship of me, praising me through beautiful hymns, great respect for my devotional service, offering obeisances with the entire body, performing first-class worship of my devotees, consciousness of me in all living entities, offering of ordinary bodily activities in my devotional service, use of words to describe my qualities, offering the mind to me, right? So body, mind, and words, right? Rejection of all material desires, giving up wealth for my devotional service, renouncing material sense gratification and happiness, performing all, so we'll take it, but the point is it's about Krishna. So it means you're giving up wealth for being engaged in devotional service.
Yes.
Right? Means, yes, you could work those extra hours, but no, you'd rather chant your rounds.
Yes.
You know? Yes. Or on the weekend, you could go to the temple, and you're doing that instead of going out and doing other, making other, you know, networking and contacts and doing, you know, other stuff. So, you know, you're engaged in devotional service. Mm-hmm. Renouncing material sense gratification and happiness means you're giving up the material and just taking the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. And performing all desirable activities such as charity, sacrifice, chanting, vows, and austerities with the purpose of achieving mm-hmm. me. So it's all about achieving Krishna, not just because they're good, they're nice. Mm-hmm. No. These constitute actual religious principles. by which those human beings who have actually surrendered themselves to me automatically develop love for me. What other purpose or goal could remain for my devotee? Right. So we're familiar with all these. Mm-hmm. Right? All these things have been given by Srila Prabhupada, you know, given by the acharyas. So the essence that when you're getting to is this.
Yes.
But sometimes you think, oh, that's basic. Now what's the more, you know, more technical like this? And so, okay, you want technical? Here's technical. But the essence is still this. So even that technical connected to Krishna. Because we only want technical how much we can understand. When the technical goes beyond, then see, if we know technical as much as we can understand but more than others, then we feel really smart. But when the technical is beyond what we can understand, like that, that's when it kind of loses its, how you say, social advantage,
yes.
Right? You know, so.
Yes. The same with rasa also.
Yes.
Once we go to deep into the rasa, then when we don't understand, it's like.
yeah, then it's kind of, okay. Nice. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.